You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
I'd like to start by reading Matthew 6:6, and it's from Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible translation. Here is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense God's grace. I'd like to invite us all just to take a moment or two of meditation, of silence, as we think about God, we think about us and our relationship. So there's a story about the great preacher, Dwight Moody. One morning he realized that although he used the word grace all the time, and although he spoke often about grace in general terms, and almost each week he sang a hymn or a praise song about grace, he had never really studied it. So he decided to devote one full day to study grace. And then he realized that he needed more than one day. So he dedicated the next day, and the next day, and the next. And finally he realized that you really can't study grace. You really need to experience it. And so he began a dialogue with almost everybody he knew about what God's grace meant to them. And he continued that dialogue for the rest of his life. This morning we're going to begin a 3-week series on God's grace. I believe grace is the core of Christianity. I was going to tell you how many worship songs and hymns have the word grace in it, because people tell me that if you Google something, you can get everything. But trust me, nobody at Google could tell us. And so then I took the hymnal that you have in front of you, and I started to look for it. Oh my goodness, almost every song had the word grace in it, and particularly the songs that were written by Charles Wesley. Because grace, the experience of grace, the importance of grace, is one of the cornerstones of the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church was founded by John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield and others in about mid-18th century. There are two beliefs that really distinguished the Methodist Church of that time and distinguishes us today from other Christian denominations. Not all of them, certainly, but others. And that is the idea of free will and something called prevenient grace. I think after you experience these next 3 weeks, you will agree that grace is everything. It's tough stuff. It's not easy. But really, there's nothing more important in our spiritual walk than the idea of grace. So God's grace is God's grace. It's not for us to give. It is for God to give. The book of James tells us, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Grace is God's gift. But we have to figure out first, okay, so what is grace? What does it mean? All of the Christian religions that I have read about agree that grace, God's grace, is unmerited, undeserved love. That's it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It just is. I think that's a really key part of the idea of grace, is that if I do something great and you do something not so great, we all have access to God's grace. Romans 11:6 tells us, "And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace." We speak a lot about God's grace. We say, through the grace of God, we survive. Through the grace of God, this happened. Through the grace of God, I found him. Through the grace of God, I wasn't hurt. But I like to substitute the word love for grace. And so if we do that, we look at Romans 11:6. And it reads, "And if by love, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, love would no longer be love." And so really what we're talking about is God's love. I hope we can agree this morning that God's grace is the cornerstone of our beliefs. It can't be earned. It is totally given to us by God, and we must freely accept it. So there's only one grace. But in the Wesleyan tradition, we believe there are three names for it: prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying. So this morning we're going to talk about, I don't know if you can have a favorite grace, but the one I like to think about the most, which is prevenient grace. So when I was a child, we used to play outside all the time. You probably did too, because it was safe, especially in the summer. And so about sundown, 8:30, my father would come out and he would call to us, but the way he called to us was he would whistle to us. And he had a specific, distinctive whistle. And then I thought, this is how naive I was, that I had a choice. I could respond to that whistle or not respond. Okay, really? All right. So if I didn't respond to what we all know what happens, because my father did not understand the definition of grace, he understood the definition of responding and doing what he said. So if I didn't respond, I was in trouble. But if I did respond, I was called home to family time, to time when we sat together and talked about the day and what was going to happen the next day. I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. It was actually a special time. I know that this was actually a preview for me to prevenient grace. Prevenient means before. The first syllable, preview, premier, premature, preceding, it means something that comes before. My father whistled for us to come into the house before we met as a family. Or when I was a kid, I thought my father whistled to us to call me home before I got in trouble. But it was still the idea of being called home. And that is what God does for us in prevenient grace. God calls us home to a relationship with God. You and God. God calls us from the very beginning. Those children that were here this morning, they are being called by God. Every one of us is called by God. But we have the free will to respond or not to respond. That is our choice. The difference is that unlike my father, God will not stop calling. He does not get mad. God continues to call. And when you respond, there is rejoicing in heaven because you have responded. But if you don't respond, our God loves us enough not to give up on us. Now, this is not an exclusive theological idea with the Wesleyans. In fact, the early Catholic Church was the first to talk about prevenient grace. We find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Every time we begin to pray to Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who draws us onto the way of prayer through God's prevenient grace. God is calling you right now. God is calling me right now. Each one of us at some time probably has heard God calling, and some of us have probably responded, and some of us have probably not. And there probably have been times in your life where you've chosen not to respond. I don't want to respond today. This is inconvenient for me today. I can't afford to respond today. But God will continue to call you. And I know some of you know my story, but I'm going to tell you my story. For those of you who don't. So I was a banker for a very long time. And I went to a friend's graduation from Fuller Theological Seminary. And I sat in the audience. And I was a very, not necessarily happy banker, but certainly it was lucrative for me. And I was successful. So I sat in it was actually Lake Avenue Congregational Church. And I sat watching this graduation, and a voice came to me and said, "You should be up there." It was very clear that it wasn't the people sitting next to me. I believe with all my heart it was the Holy Spirit telling me that. And God doesn't talk to me a lot. You know, some of you probably hear from God all the time. I don't, but I heard this voice, and I clearly responded and said, "Nah, not today." You know, when I retired, that would be a great thing to do, but no. And that was in May. And I was invited to retire from Bank of America, as I've told you before, I was fired, in August. They had to let me retire. And so I sat there at my house, very upset, crying, saying, "Well, what am I supposed to do now?" And very clearly, God said, "Well, I told you in May what you were supposed to be doing, and it might be nice if you checked it out now." That, and I was watching St. Jude Children's commercials on television. Oh, my gosh. You know, if you're going to cry, that's something to really add on. So finally, my friend Casey said, "Snap out of it and do something." And so I decided to apply to seminary to go to Fuller in the winter. I would apply now, but I'll go in January. Now, the reason I decided January was very clear. I hope it was clear to you, because I had no intention of doing it. And so I thought, I'll put it off long enough. I'll figure out something else to do. I'll get a better job, and life will go on. But that's not what happened. So I apply to go to Fuller for the winter, and I get a phone call a couple days after the application goes in from a woman who asks me if I am Kathy Cannon, who went to John Burroughs High School. And I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm Peggy Sill, and we went to high school together, and I'm the director of admissions, and if you want to start next week, I'll let you start. Seriously, this is a serious story, guys. Okay. My point of this, by the way, I started. The point, and graduated. The point of the story is that God was calling me, and I did every single thing I could possibly do not to respond to that call, because God gave me free will. But it was very clear that when God called me, this was the path that God wanted me to be on. So I believe prevenient grace is not just responding the first time to God's call and saying, hey, yeah, cool, I like you, God, I think I might go to church, let me explore this. But all through your life, God calls you to certain things. And you have the choice. You can respond or not respond. But you know, I read this last week when I did the opening morning prayer, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to read it again, and please forgive me for doing that. But I think this is very important for us to remember, and it's Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me with all your heart. God promises us there's a plan. Now, we are not what I call a feel-good church, in the sense that you're not going to walk out of here every week going, okay, great, all I have to do is pray five times and the check is going to be there in the mail and things are going to be great, because that's not how life works in my opinion. In my opinion, life is really, really, really hard. And really tough things happen to us all the time. And I'm looking out there right now, and I see friends from the Nazarene Church. Hi. Nice to see you guys. And I see the people sitting in front of them that are going through some struggles right now, Cheryl with her son, and I'm looking around and I'm going, some of you have financial struggles and some of you are looking for jobs, and I know that, because that is what life is. And God doesn't promise me or you that it's going to be easy. But what God does do is plan for us. And when those tough things happen, God's grace helps us get through. So we have restrooms on this side of the building, and if you walk past them, you see the pictures of one of our missionaries, Paul Jeffries. I look at them several times a day. And sometimes I look at those pictures and I think, how hard is that life? Every day to struggle for food and water and shelter. And for those people in the pictures to look at those children and know, my child is going to struggle to get an education, to do better than we do. How hard is that life? But sometimes I look at those pictures and I look at the faces and I think, how wonderful is that life? Because those people have a community of believers together. They have God's love and grace and support. And sometimes I think maybe that would be an easier life than what some of us live, because we don't respond to God's prevenient grace and we don't have that community. Are they happier and more content than we are? I don't know. Sometimes you can hear God's voice calling you and experience God's prevenient grace when you get out of the city or your life. I had the privilege a couple of years ago to go to Africa, and some of you may have been to Africa also. I went with my brother and sister-in-law and nephew, and they do not believe in God. And we went, and I have to say, if you ever have the opportunity to go to Africa, go. Because I have never, even in my wildest dreams, thought about experiencing that. To be in a car with a giraffe right next to you, and the giraffe is in charge, not you. And going to watch hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of flamingos feeding. You experience God in that environment. But the reason I bring it up is because my brother and his wife and child have been there a couple of times. But when we went, the whole time, all I did was think about, I pray, God, that my brother can see you in this environment. And I prayed and I prayed, and nothing happened. But then the next year, my brother and his family decided to go back. I could not go. Well, actually, I wasn't invited, but that's okay. Anyway. And they ended up working in an orphanage for a week. And that's where they saw God. Where I thought they should see God, that was not the plan. But where God thought they should see God, that was the plan. And their lives were changed because it was there when they responded to the prevenient grace and love of God. Because God speaks to everybody differently in different circumstances. We cannot provide that grace. It is God's grace. And so I challenge us today. I challenge us every time I talk to you because I'm constantly challenging myself. Listen for God's voice. You may have responded already. You may already have a relationship with God. But that doesn't mean God is not going to speak to you and ask you to respond again in a different way. You may be brand new here today. You may come every single week. And yet God will speak to you. It may not be a clear, audible voice. It may be a circumstance. It may be somebody else. It may be somebody in need. But God will call you into a relationship with God. You and God. And God will use you in that relationship. The bottom line is, prevenient grace is an invitation to have an ongoing relationship with God. And I want to close with these words from Ephesians. Now God has us where God wants us. With all the time in this world and in the next, God will shower grace and kindness upon us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.